Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 Word of mouth. Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Brady Carlson in for Virginia Prescott. Coming up, could your car's OnStar system generate personalized billboards while you drive? Plus, reluctant gang members looking to make a change actually might be able to escape the life after all. And we'll get the latest viral trends and memes from the web with our internet Sherpa, Brady Carlson. Oh, wait, that's me. I'm going to have to figure out how to do that segment while I'm still hosting. But first, keeping secrets as a group activity. Recently, CNET reported that the FBI had been lobbying Congress for a law that would require social networking companies and other web-based communication systems to make sure their systems are surveillance compatible. FBI Director Robert Mueller seemed to confirm that in an appearance last week before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
What we're looking at is some form of legislation that will assure that when we get the appropriate court order, that those individuals, individual companies that are served with that order, do have the capability and the capacity to respond to that order.
But the concerns about delving into private communication to protect public safety go back to the founding of the FBI itself and even before. Tim Weiner is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. His newest book is Enemies, A History of the FBI. He's set to appear this weekend at Next Stage in Putney, Vermont, and he joins us today by phone. Tim, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much.
CNET also reported that the FBI has been asking the big tech companies, Google, Microsoft, and others, not so much to back a bill on this issue, which they call a going dark issue, but at least not to oppose it. In your book, this seems to be standard practice for the Bureau. They turn to stakeholders and say, look, we're going to need you on our team for this. Partner with us.
Yes, this particular issue has been a dilemma for the FBI since 1995, when the internet and email became part of our daily lives. The FBI uses wiretapping, bugging, electronic surveillance to do its main mission, which is intelligence and counterterrorism. And that has been its main mission for most of the last century since it was founded. But the technology that's publicly available, including encryption systems that are publicly available, outpace the FBI's ability to bug and tap them. So it's a real dilemma. This is part of the tug of war between civil liberties and national security. That is the theme of my book, Enemies, A History of the FBI, and is interwoven in American history going back to the Constitution.
In a way, you have almost diametrically opposed trends because you have the possibility for further encryption, further privacy that maybe the FBI can't keep up with. But at the same time, we're living in this world of cell phone cameras and leaving digital records of our daily lives on Facebook. So how does that balance between privacy and security change for an agency like the FBI?
People have, under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in this country, the right to be secure in their homes from unreasonable searches and seizures. That's the Fourth Amendment in the Bill of Rights. Unreasonable searches and seizures can include spying on your computer, looking at your email, opening your snail mail, putting a microphone in your bedroom, and the FBI has done all of these, going back over the years up to the present day. You've got to get a judicial warrant. You've got to get a judge's okay to do this. And the FBI ran into real trouble in the Bush administration after 9/11 when its director, Bob Mueller, who is its director today, determined that, in fact, the FBI and the National Security Agency, which does electronic eavesdropping, and the White House had violated the Constitution in their searches and seizures of emails and URLs and people's computers, and he went to the president and got it stopped. That is part of the tug of war between civil liberties and national security that goes on every day.
And the Supreme Court, I believe, said this week that it would hear whether several groups can challenge some of the laws that establish that sort of dragnet surveillance, and activists and journalists were part of those making the case. And their argument was, essentially, when the government starts broadly sweeping through communications, that that winds up being a concern not just for lawbreakers, but for law-abiding, albeit vocal, citizens.
When the government itself becomes a lawbreaker, it threatens the Constitution and the fabric of our freedom as Americans. And this is part of the story of the FBI and of this book, Enemies. Presidents gave J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI the power to conduct illegal surveillances. Franklin Delano Roosevelt told J. Edgar Hoover in 1939 and 1940, after the Supreme Court outlawed wiretapping, Edgar, you go right ahead and keep on wiretapping in the name of national security. So presidents, like from FDR to George Bush across the political spectrum, want the FBI to be able to know what the enemies of the United States are doing. But when the FBI crosses the line and starts infringing on people's right to free speech under the First Amendment or free association, or even to have dangerous ideas and say dangerous things, then we've got trouble.
We're talking with Pulitzer Prize winning author and occasional FDR impersonator Tim Weiner about his book Enemies, The History of the FBI. Tim is appearing at Next Stage in Putney, Vermont this Saturday. You can find details of that appearance at wordofmouthradio.org. And you just mentioned the issue of when does an activity fall under free speech and when does it really fall under the FBI's purview. And we just had the NATO summit recently in Chicago, and police there arrested three activists. They say the activists were plotting a series of attacks in the area, including on Mayor Rahm Emanuel and President Obama's campaign headquarters. The activists say the evidence is not theirs, that they were there simply protesting and they're being targeted because of their activities. What struck me here was that this sounds like an FBI operation, the kind of thing that the FBI would
absolutely
look into. And yet this was local authorities, so they were almost adopting the FBI playbook in a way.
Well, you know, this is kind of a genetic transfer that goes on. Big city police departments here in New York, where I live, and Chicago, are adopting their own sort of secret units, little FBIs, little CIAs, and they are getting very deeply into people's personal business in the name of counterterrorism. You know, my right to free speech doesn't infringe upon your right to switch me off. My right to swing my arms ends at your nose, all right? But words are not deeds, and people's free speech rights have to be protected or we're going to lose this country.
Is there a way for an agency that uses secret tactics and operates essentially secretly, like the FBI, to be accountable?
Only in America.
Only in America.
Only
how so?
In America, that's right, because we are the only country on earth that demands that our secret intelligence services, like the CIA and the FBI, operate under the rule of law. They don't do that in Russia or China. And this creates a tremendous tug of war between the forces of security and the forces of liberty. Your state's motto is imprinted in the genetic memory of every American: live free or die. Well, that's what it amounts to. We want to be safe and we want to be free, but these are opposing forces. And that is what the FBI wakes up to every day, that dilemma of how to get it right, how to get that balance right.
You wrote this book after going through boxes and boxes of documents, going back decades to the J. Edgar Hoover days. And it seems like there is a cycle where journalists and authors will look through these documents years later, recount what went wrong, and people are understandably shocked. But then present day officials will say, well, we don't do things that way anymore. 40 years from now, if you're, say, writing a sequel, is that going to be the case? Do they really do things differently because of the rule of law or because of other factors?
Among the laws that make us a free people are the Freedom of Information Act laws that require the government to declassify even its secret documents after 25 or 30 years. We won't know exactly what happened in Washington after 9/11 for another 20 years.
Tim, thanks so much for taking the time and talking with us.
And when we know, we'll be on the case.
Okay. Tim Weiner, author of Enemies, A History of the FBI. You can find out more about his book and his upcoming appearance in Putney, Vermont at wordofmouthradio.org.